Okay, we're going live.
New Dissident Radio.
No. I got this for that. You ready? Okay.
Got it.
All right, here we go.
Hello, I'm Eddie Pepitone, and you're listening to NewDissidentRadio.com. Believe me, it sounds better than it is.
Hi, this is Cantor Gary Shapiro, and you're listening to The Ardent Atheist.
You mean you?
No, you're The Ardent Atheist.
I think you're going to become an ardent atheist.
I'm Ardent Emery.
Hello and welcome to Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hello, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the intertubes, and as the lead singer of Ben Gillette's No God Band, coming again this year to TAM 2012. You can find links to our guest's website. Join our Twitter and Facebook feeds and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by Joe Swam, go to the Facebook page for Ardent Atheist, like our page, and join in. We might use your statements in the live broadcast, so join Joe there now.
And please go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast, write a review, help us get in the top 10.
If you do it, I'll strip naked and hump this microphone.
We only have a couple of rules on our show. Rule number one.
Guests may plug anything they want as long as it's well-oiled and not too thick.
And rule number two, if you're a listener who's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content, and certainly has nothing for you, you insufferable Bible-thumping, altar boy-humping, closeted pedo-fuck. In the studio tonight, we have Rachel Lichtman, Gary Stockdale, and Joel Madison. You know these folks from showbiz.
Welcome.
Thanks for being here, everybody.
Welcome. Did that confuse you? You all look very confused right now.
What I love about that is I told everybody before we started, I said, it gets a little loud in your headphones. You're going to want to have to adjust them and pull them off your ears a little bit. And I think everybody's like, I'll be fine. Fuck off. And then we start and boom, everybody's shitting themselves.
They all flew back about 2 feet.
Are we okay? Did we survive it?
We're fine.
What?
I don't know.
What? Gary did the
joke. Gary will never play again.
It'll probably make him better, you know, Beethoven and all.
Will I ever play the violin again?
You can probably play a violin, can't you, Gary?
A little bit.
Yeah. All right. Gary Stockdale is he's a musician. He's worked on many of the shows that we all love to hate. And I love Showtime's bullshit. That was
Thank you.
And you did all the music for
that. Yes, I did.
Nothing, there was no music on there that Gary wasn't behind. Joel Madison, I've known you for 100 years.
For a long, long time, Emery.
Madison.
When you were just Emery, I knew you.
Joel, yeah, indeed.
Before you added the extra, Emery.
Joel used to work the rooms I couldn't get into. Those were the
That's
days.
That's not much.
And you started out up north of me, right? I'm Kansas City. You were in Minneapolis, right?
Yeah, that's where I started.
Out with Louis and those cats.
Louis Anderson.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen.
And
where is he now? He should be here.
He goes on
Tim and Eric all the time, isn't he? He's around here.
You've seen him on Tim and Eric?
He's on Tim and Eric, yeah.
I didn't know this.
I did not know that.
I didn't either. I thought he was dead.
Was it Tim and Eric or was he with Bob Odenkirk on... Yeah, it was Tim and Eric.
I'll be goddamn.
Yeah, he's on.
On a newer episode? I got to catch up.
Well, you know, they're always firing Tim and stuff, so like he replaced Tim at one point.
Really?
I think
Louis
so.
Anderson.
Such a good
Louis
show.
Anderson, yeah.
Not literally.
It was pretty funny. Great. They made a whole thing about... Yeah.
Okay.
They made a big thing about how they were firing Tim and took his place. And then he asks Tim to go get him a Coke or something. Like, go out there and get me a Coke.
I got to watch this
episode.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Rachel.
Yes, dear.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Lichtman.
Yes, Lichtman.
I was hoping that's how you pronounce it.
It is, yeah.
I met Rachel when a friend of mine said, you have to check out her Twitter feed. And there's a couple of people who are just nutty amazing. I mean, prolific and writing seems like every day on Twitter. The first one, Rob Delaney. Anybody Rob?
Absolutely. Rob Delaney.
Funny.
He's the king of Twitter.
Really funny.
I didn't know him.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
I can't get him. He won't return an email. He thinks he must. I don't know if he knows who I am. I fuck him. But I threw an email out to Rachel when I came across your Twitter feed because it's hilarious. Amanda said, you have to check it out. It's the best one I've seen so far.
That's very nice.
She is here today because I emailed you and said, will you please come on my show?
That's right.
And you said yes?
I did say yes.
Oh, boy.
Then I discovered we have friends in common, Gary Shapiro and you.
We do. We have a lot of friends in common, I think.
All Jews know each other.
Absolutely.
Oh, is that how that works?
That's right.
And do you know J. Elvis?
I do. I know J. Elvis very well. He's been on my radio show.
Now, do you split all the money or do you just keep your own in a satchel somewhere under
I keep it pushed.
Money? What's that?
I think I've been screwed over way more by Jews than anybody else.
Me too.
You know.
You're just thinking of Stanford's.
Yeah, hey, specifically.
That son of a bitch. Those sons of
those
bitches.
Guys, well, they screw you over many times over. Old history.
It's almost like working at Stanford and Sons in Kansas City was almost like those guys, they would shit you out of $50. You know what I mean? If you had a deal to work for $1,400, they'd pay you $1,350 sometimes.
But I don't know why you're complaining. It prepared you for show business.
Did it?
Yeah.
So does a good ass fucking, though. Really?
Well,
true.
Then
true.
I was
no, a bad ass fucking.
Then thanks to my uncle, I was seasoned by 7 years old.
What is the difference?
Good point.
We go to Rachel.
Speaking of ass fucking, hi. Mm.
Joel is tossing to Rachel. So,
our reporter on the street.
That's right. I'm deep in the trenches here.
Oh, just any line you use is going to be fine.
So let's find out what people believe. That's what the show is about. I don't know that I've ever asked Joel what you. I don't know what you believe, Joel. I'm not sure.
Oh man,
do you have a belief system? You got a daughter, right?
I have a daughter, and you know what? It comes up now because it is on my mind. She's 6 years old. What to do with her? I would like to give her some religious moral base.
Why religious moral base?
Because then I wouldn't have to burden is off of me to teach it.
I could take
her somewhere.
Hey, try somebody else.
Right?
There you go.
Catholicism, priest to help her.
I could.
Mark that down. At 7:07, we got a quote for the book by Joel Madison. The reason he's going to teach his daughter about religious morality is to take the burden off of you.
Well, because there would be another authority saying something.
Are you going to use porn to teach her about sex, too?
Well, if it happens to be that way. It's, rather than me going, here's what you should do, I mean, I would reinforce it. But it is a subject. I was raised with a gun to my head to go to temple, and you know there is some desire to do that to your kid as well,
right.
Yeah,
to put a gun to their head,
right,
and make them go. You know, I remember it was uncomfortable. It wasn't any fun.
Were you conservative Jew or Reform?
Reform.
So they didn't. They didn't secretly hire people to hijack you and then take them to some religious teaching school or camp out in the woods.
Not that I know of.
They're doing that now.
I might have repressed memories.
They're doing that now,
I do have to say, though, that if I had to be dragged kicking and screaming into any Judeo-Christian religion, it would be Judaism, because I think mostly all the stuff that produces smart people can still happen without God.
I think that Judaism is a very philosophical religion, for the most part.
What do you call a Jewish atheist?
A rabbi?
Jewish.
Jewish.
I had a rabbi who told me that he didn't believe in God. When I was about 9 years old,
exactly,
he said he didn't really. It wasn't his thing.
You take,
he's just trying to use reverse psychology on you. That's all it was. Those guys,
right? They're tricky.
They're wily. Those fucking rabbis.
They're tricky
bastards.
They're cheap too.
I don't know why I'm talking about them in the third New York person, but I am. Why do you think that is, Gary? I mean, we get that a lot. A lot of our atheist friends, a lot of our Jewish friends seem to be atheist, but still kind of hang on to some of that traditional crap.
Well, I believe it's because it is a system that's allowed people who are smart to exist throughout centuries, even though they were hated. And when anyone's the smartest person in the room, you are going to be hated. And you're going to have enemies who have, religions based on submission that are going to try and keep a story going on for centuries that you need to be killed. Right. The problem is that the people who the Jews also keep the same story going on to guarantee that they're going to always want to be killed by the same people. But if you take God out of Judaism, it's sort of like, let's still go down and let's still do this. If you take God out of Christianity, it's done. There's nothing.
Yeah, well, I don't know. They have the tree and the tooth fairy.
Well, how did we get here? How does the world turn and doesn't fall down?
Rachel, what do you believe?
That's what they ask.
I believe in energy. I believe they're all connected.
It comes out of the socket in the wall.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, right. Plug my iPhone right in. I do believe in something, in some kind of an energy out there that is unexplained something that is out there that connects us. But I was glad to be raised Jewish because
when you say that connects us, that's where I just get completely lost. Right now, we have the wall of reason where people are talking about what they're listening to. There are people who can apparently multitask, listen to a show like this, and actually chat with each other about what we're saying. So I'm sure there are some people freaking out right now on the wall about Joel saying that he's going to teach his kids these biblical morality so he doesn't have to. And right now, they're probably going nuts about that because we get that one a lot actually on
the show.
Well,
I mean, you know, it's.
But in what way? Connected in what way? Help me understand what you think and believe on that.
I just think that all living things out there have some kind of a base energy to them, some kind of vibration. I know this sounds really hippy-dippy, but there's something. I don't believe in a god, obviously, like in traditional sense.
From the planet Avatar.
But I believe in O God, the series with George Burns. But I don't... I think
people would probably jump on.
I think I'm going to start a religion
with George Burns,
based on the O God series, John Denver.
Religions have been based on less.
Less than.
Yes,
they've done worse for less.
Yes.
But yeah, that's
it's hard to kill for George Burns.
It's not hard.
All right.
I've done it before and I'll do it again.
Look, I'm too scared to not believe.
And really? That's honest, too, isn't it?
And I think I might have told you that one time.
Well, I think you and I have talked about this. And not believing because you're scared. You're scared of, help me out with this. I want to make sure I got it right. Because we were in a Starbucks once, and we did talk about this. I forgot all about it.
Yeah.
And your choice to believe in something is much like what we call it's Pascal's wager. In other words, Pascal's wager was, you don't know it?
No.
Pascal's wager was, if you don't believe in God and there is one, you've lost everything, all of eternity, if you will. If you do believe in God and there isn't one, you've lost nothing.
Yes, exactly. And it costs me absolutely nothing.
Well,
as long as I don't, I'm not a member of a temple at this point.
Right. It costs something, actually, for many. I won't certainly clump you necessarily with this, but the people who choose to just believe because it's worth, just because it's
a gamble. To cover their bases.
Yeah. The people who believe that, first of all, they're not going to heaven in theory if they didn't choose the right fucking flavor.
In Christianity.
In even the Muslims. I mean, it doesn't matter which religion you go to. They are all splintered. They are all fucking split apart into all of these different alleyways. And if you don't go down the right alleyway, it's not a 50-50 wager at the end of the day, Joel. The one that you're grabbing a hold of and saying might be there, you have to stop and think about this, man.
If I pick the wrong one.
If you pick the wrong one, you've just fucked yourself, first of all. Well, so if the Muslim one exists, then you're wasting your time and you're lying to your daughter and everything else.
Gary has something.
I don't like to be the Judaism apologist here, but I will say that
Then don't, Gary. No, go ahead.
Wow. I feel so intimidated.
Right. No.
Jews, help me.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to jump in.
My understanding is that Judaism is based on acts, not faith. So if you act like a good person, you could stick your finger up to God every day, and you, according to Judaism, you'd still go to heaven.
That's the way it should be regardless. It should be act-based, not faith-based, not dogmatic. It should be about the kind of person you are every single day.
Right. But in Christianity, if Hitler repented on his deathbed, he'd go to heaven.
What about all the alternative?
I saw a grimace from Joel on that one.
Possibilities that there are, the alternative things that it could be.
I just want to join a commune where I'm like the fifth wife. That's fine. I'd be fine with that. That's a cool religion. I want to be one of those 70s cult religions with like my hair parted down the middle.
That's a good shit series right there. Fifth wife.
Fifth wife.
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
We'll talk.
Okay.
My grimace was more of... I lost my grimace.
No, you didn't. When he said that Hitler would be able to get into heaven if he repented on his deathbed.
Well, that's according to
that. And then you were going to get really close to the microphone and respond to that.
Why is it always Hitler?
No.
why do we go there? I think, though, it rolls back to, like, the Muslims believe that you have to believe in their deal, right? And the Christians believe that you have to be in their deal. But that's right for them. And I think
none of it's right for anybody if there is no heaven and there is no God.
Well, that's proving the negative.
Are you afraid to die?
That's what they call it.
Is that what it is? You're afraid to die?
Yes, it was invented, I believe. This is what I believe.
Yes.
The whole thing was invented to keep us grounded so that we don't get out of control and knowing that death it doesn't have any it's not the final, and it also that there could be some repercussions if you aren't good. I mean, it was that's why I believe it was invented.
It's not called death, it's life plus.
Exactly.
Beyond life.
Look at the two big desert religions don't eat pork because it's expensive to raise pigs in the desert.
Right. Well, you know,
back to the Jews and the money
that's
thing.
That's why we don't eat.
Might have something to do with it.
All right, listen.
All right, I'm actually First have a very strong voice but have been away from the mic.
Stop it. What we're talking about is in my opinion,
yes.
is an awful, awful thing. Not just a, it's what's it gonna hurt? And here's why. Because at the end of the day, if it's not true, then what we're doing is we're supporting really, really awful systems. The religious in this world, not just this country, but the religious in this world are doing really, really awful things to one another. You know, the Jews and the Palestinians,
All right, here's where you're wrong.
Islam.
Here's where you're wrong.
Go on.
Here's where you're wrong. You could convert everybody to one religion. All right, today. Yeah. If you could make that happen, then they would find ways to fight each other anyways.
That's true.
The Christians have so many sects, they fight each
right.
other.
The Muslims?
Christians have sex?
Shiites? Oh, yeah. Shiites and Sunnis hate each other.
I didn't Reformed say that
Jews.
We wouldn't have those things.
Right.
You know, it's
you're
not,
going there.
No, it's not a good argument to say that...
No religion.
It's,
That's
no,
where
no,
you're
it's
go.
Not a good argument to say that people would yeah. fight anyway, when all I'm saying is
yes.
that these are reasons that people kill one another.
Gary, play us
if
over.
You
in A minor, please. It's sad.
Actually, we'll come right back to Gary for a song after this break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. If you'd like to advertise on Ardent Atheist, send an email to emery@ardentatheist.com. Our show enjoys more than 145,000 downloads per month. That's a lot of people who are riveted to our show. And by association, your message. There are thousands of critically thinking people just waiting to know more about your product. And if you are looking to do business with gullible people, then go advertise with Rush Limbaugh or the 700 Club.
You.
But if you want to reach thousands of successful, highly intelligent, critical thinkers, we got them. Again, email Emery at ardentatheist.com for details. And now back to Ardent Atheist. Nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Rachel Lichtman, Gary Stockdale, and Joel Madison. That was awesome. I've never had musical accompaniment.
That was absolutely perfect.
To an ad
so perfect.
That was phenomenal.
I'm happy to do it. I was going to say, I'll take that one step further from what you're saying. Here's why God belief is a problem, or saying you believe in God is a problem, because people who are really smart like Joel, you know, I think
who?
Rachel.
Who? I don't think that's been decided
Rachel
yet.
Had,
we've only been here 18
he's
minutes.
A he's a comedy writer. To negotiate through there, unless you're Dane Cook, you have to be smart. But Rachel says she believes in an energy so mm-hmm. that connects human beings. And I can go with the connecting human beings part, not on a spiritual basis, but just on the fact that our DNA is inseparably linked with each other.
But
we're
I
all
would,
basic, we're all well, but so here right. is the thing. When you say God, when you say that energy thing, or the way most smart people think of is a metaphor for the interconnectedness of human beings. When you say it like that, we all understand being, I guess, considering that we're maybe smart people, that we understand that. However, when you say God in that way, and you mean it the metaphor, you mean it the energy, the other people who believe in the God who's telling you to kill people or telling you that gays shouldn't marry, etc., 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 are also hearing you saying God, and it is bolstering their idea.
Nicely
put. It is bolstering that reality.
Very nice. Gary is saying...
I wanted to say, when you save God, you said it all.
Yeah. That's exactly
That's
right.
That's what I wanted to say.
Well, Rachel, I would say but that a lot of people like yourself who have the spiritual thing and oftentimes arrive there through use of, say, marijuana. Many of those folks, in my opinion, are doing what I kind of did for a while, and that is they just don't want to let go of this spirituality aspect of life.
Wait a second, hold on, because the energy is actually based in a scientific thing. I mean, it's kind of a biochemical thing when you think about it. I mean, that's can be proven out that what humans exude, what they Neil deGrasse has been measured scientifically. That's not something that's
No. What you're doing right now is you're suggesting that the science that says that all things can't be destroyed, that nothing can be destroyed, it can only be reduced to entropy to a lesser user state, that sort of thing. All things are made of the same little tiny particles.
Stuff. We give out
star stuff. Nothing about that is spiritual, Rachel. The only thing. I'm gonna kill you.
Isn't that where we're going?
That's not where we're going. The only thing, kumbaya. The only thing that is scientific about what you're talking about is that we can measure certain aspects of our universe. That's all.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, but that's not. If that's all you're saying, then it doesn't really apply to the conversation about whether there's a God or not.
Oh well.
She wasn't addressing that. Oh,
no, not really.
What she believed, and then you bagged on her.
No, help me understand that.
You dirty.
I didn't mean to. I pissed off more than one person.
What do you believe, Rachel?
I think this. God, you're wrong!
No, I didn't do that.
And there's no proof of it.
Get out of my studio.
What you're doing right now. I turned it down.
And welcome to the podcast.
I turned Joel down. Okay. I did. No,
but he has the power.
I hope you don't feel like I'm attacking you.
What I think it is something that has a vibration where there's negativity or positivity can affect large groups of people. Okay, for instance, right now where there's huge population,
yep,
and everything's kind of horrible right now. I think we can all agree, really, for the most part. And
When has it not been?
It's always able to be called horrible as long as I can remember and as long as I can read back. Everybody has made the claim we're all making now. Everybody thinks we're going to hell in a handbasket, and I think it's always pretty much the same.
We're living the end times.
That's how I feel about
it. Yes.
But go on. I want to know more.
I'm
about
done talking now.
No,
she's done with you, Emery.
I know. Yeah. Thanks, Joel.
The idea is you get somebody to talk and you jump on him.
That was my dating history.
Nice.
That's fine. That might have been the first funny joke of the show.
The funniest joke.
I want to know
but
why.
Rachel, no, I'm not done with Rachel. I apologize if you feel like I'm getting on you. I'm not. I'm really interested in having you explain what you mean when you talk about these things.
Choking her. Stop choking her.
Let me.
I'm literally choking now.
Away.
Well, that wouldn't choke her.
You would know.
I'm not saying that it's a replace or that it is God or it isn't. I'm saying it is. That's what I think is out there, as far as any kind of a something in the universe. As far as God, as the classic idea of God, the guy with his robe open, like Jimmy Webb or somebody,
Jimmy Webb,
hanging out in his living room.
I am a lineman for the county.
Let me tell you,
I don't believe in that.
Great references on her Twitter feed.
I want to see it. I've got to get to your Twitter feed.
We'll
anyone want to romantically correspond via love letters over a period of 50 years and tragically never meet? Or do anal? That's one.
That's one of my favorites right there.
That's so great.
That is Rob Delaney quality right there.
Wow, thank you very much.
I'm not kidding.
With a twist.
That's DJ Rotary Rachel on Twitter.com.
There you go.
I don't care, whatever. I think I have like two, I don't know, how many followers do you guys have? Let's compare.
300.
Okay.
One.
I have a few more than you.
Yes.
Well, Karen Avizer on the page here quotes Neil deGrasse Tyson by saying, we are all connected to each other biologically, to the earth chemically, and to the rest of the universe atomically. And that's how we're connected, and that's the energy that we have.
That's what I was going to say.
And we're made of star stuff. We're made up out of the elements that
We're also connected by memes.
Yes.
Yes.
In the Dawkins sense. We're connected by ideas, which connect all of you.
There's a collective subconscious. There's all kinds of things that connect us. But
there's empathy, being able to feel when someone else is sad. And people go, I knew that couple was sad and they had just argued. Well, no, you didn't. You could see their body language. You could feel them and their anxiousness. Right. You saw that. It's called empathy. It's not magic.
I sense that Rachel wanted to kick me in the balls.
See? It works.
Was I right? Did I get that right?
I don't know.
No.
You should now, though. Please.
I don't think so.
We'll see.
We'll see how this goes.
See how this works out.
Well, Yeah, no, I do jump into these ideas, and I try to speak with people who communicate them, because at the end of the day, I think the next religion that we have is going to be the one you just described. I think it's going to become a religion. I think it's going to have a building. I think people are going to start to worship in certain ways around these ideas.
I think, unfortunately,
and I think religion harms us.
They do.
I think, unfortunately, technology is going to take us away from that, because technology is almost a counterintuitive evolution in some ways, because it's the illusion of being connected, but it's not actual connection. You know what I mean? And so as we move towards singularity, or, you know, that theory, the Kurzweil theory of singularity, where it's, you know, by 2025, we'll have to merge with technology to keep up with it. And so all the interface you see now with iPads and iPhones, I'll be able to wave and mute you, you know, and just, you know,
muted.
Or download information through Google in my brain. I mean, that's something that's sort of in the not too distant future.
I really wish that our bodies and minds were up with technology right now, because we're now having panic attacks and anxiety, and we're having depression because we have all this animalistic adrenaline going through our bodies from when we were running from cave lions.
Right. And now we're just tweeting, sitting on a couch. And
yeah.
There's nothing to do with that energy.
There's no reason for that right now.
Well, so you see that as negative, Rachel? The Kurzweil model doesn't work, I don't think it is what it is.
I think it's just the direction we're going, as far as, you know, technology is going to take over. That's going to be how we evolve in the next sort of 100 years. It's going to be towards that.
So you think he's right?
I think he's absolutely right.
I think he's sort of right. But I think he loses a lot of credibility because he sells vitamins.
But he makes great keyboards.
Did you know he gets the credibility back.
Did you know
he sells vitamins?
Does he? Well, I'm not surprised.
Okay.
He also did
longevity
Stevie
vitamins.
He also does devices for the blind and for people to speak who can't speak.
That's true. I'll give him props for that. Well,
he does a lot of stuff.
He's a really smart cat. Absolutely.
He's inventive.
He's actually a cat. A lot of people don't know he's a cat.
He's literally a cat.
He's a house cat.
What's his name? Alvin Toffler wrote the book Future Shock, which is basically the same theory, like in 1970.
Yeah.
You know, before computers, basically, you know.
So before computers, he was saying what?
The same thing, that technology is fucking us up. That we have become products of technology.
But I don't think
I disagree with that.
We can't process it as fast as. Well, I'm just telling you what he says.
No, I know.
Your beef is with him.
Yes, not with me. We can't process the technology is doubling and quadrupling so fast that humans have a hard time assimilating the technology.
Yeah, they do. And
in
a lot
what
of people.
Way?
That's
well,
what
because,
said.
For example, I have people on
It's basically what you're saying is that we're still apes.
People are saying, yeah, we are still apes.
What'd you
call
her?
We're just monkeys in shoes.
Monkeys in shoes.
People on my page say there's somebody, and some of them are not very well, but there are people still saying, oh yeah, well, if evolution is true, then how did my computer get here? It just fixed itself. It just evolved into a thing that works. And so there's people who just cannot
The reason we have a whole much more brain tissue above the lizard brain is because of cognitive thinking like that. So the more the technology comes, the more our brain can adapt to that. I mean,
so
I
you're
think
saying
we're
our
doing,
brains will grow
yes.
with it. Like the fact that one of the reasons our brains are so big is that because we were able to cook meat. The fire,
yes,
which was technology, it was able to cook meat. We could process that protein better, and our brains.
We're going to look like those aliens from comic books
and
with the big heads.
So.
With all the McDonald's food.
I'm really into that look.
As long as I can have my hair.
You need a big head.
So much more hair.
I just want to wear. They're all bald.
Oh, fuck.
I need somebody on the wall.
Then you're the winner.
That's right.
See?
I need somebody on the wall to see if we can find some information about what Joel just said, because I think that theory that eating meat changed us.
Cooked meat.
Helped.
It all helped. I'm not saying
I believe that's true. I believe I've read that before.
I thought that there was recent evidence that that's inaccurate. I could be wrong about this. Somebody on the wall, see if I'm wrong or right about this. But somebody mentioned. No. Somebody mentioned it to me recently. Yeah. So it would be a new development.
I just saw it on
interesting
show.
Find out.
I just heard it just now.
Was it on Ancient Aliens?
No.
Hey, Joel, for
I
the record,
ancient aliens.
I had heard it many years ago and thought it made a lot of sense.
Well,
I just
still,
think
they're still touting it.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to have
part of the technology? And I got to say that there's something to the evolution and the technology. And thank God there are people. I would have not been a good person back in the caveman days. First of all, I get cold fast. I don't like the cold, so caveman. But
there were no Jews in caves.
No. But I. You're right. We were on the outside. We had huts. But I sound like the 2,000-year-old man now.
You really do.
I know Jesus. Yes, I did.
Yeah, I thought he was famous Jew was in a cave.
He was in a schlepping outfit and he wore sandals in winter. Jesus. Sure, I knew him. All right.
Well, do you want to have Gary sing us into another break?
Yeah.
I'd love that. Ladies and gentlemen, Gary Shapiro.
That's no, not Gary Shapiro. That's
Stockdale.
Gary Stockdale.
Gary Shapiro is
Gary
a canter.
Canter to Gary
I am an anti-canter.
You're a decanter.
You said it.
Wow. Nice. No, I have that microphone over to the guitar, Joel? I don't mean, but if you want to make comments during the song.
Tell us what you're playing.
I'm going to play a song that, well, it's called Militant.
All right.
Are we hearing everything enough? Okay. And so here it is.
I'm a militant atheist. That's what my friend called me. At a party, he was drunk that night, but I think he might be right. You can be militant about freedom, you can be militant for control, you can be militant about sin. What's deep down in your soul? So I'm a militant atheist for the same reason. You can be militant for the pen, you can be militant for the sword, you can be militant for your people, you can be militant for the Lord. So I'm a militant atheist for the same reason. You can be militant against hatred, you can be militant against war, you can be militant against killing, cause you just can't take no more. That's why I'm a militant atheist for the same reason. Oh, I'm a militant atheist.
Nice.
This is Yitzhak Perlman, and you're listening to The Ardent Atheist.
You're not Yitzhak Perlman.
But I have polio.
Hey, we want to let everyone know about Camp Quest. Camp Quest is a secular summer camp for kids from 8 to 17, and they've got camps all over the U.S. They have your traditional camp activities like archery, hiking, and crafts, but they add games that promote critical thinking, humanism, and free thought. If you have kids, you should send them to Camp Quest this July. Camp Quest could also use your help because there are families who cannot afford to send their kids. So visit TinyUrl, TinyUrl.com. ARDENT camp. That's tinyurl.com.
/ArdentCamp
to learn more and help out the underprivileged free thinkers of tomorrow.
And now, back to Ardent Atheist, nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Rachel Lichtman, Gary Stockdale, and Joel Madison. Man, that was really nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent song.
Wasn't that awesome?
Thank you.
Beautiful.
And Gary, I apologize. I know that every other day I get an invite on Facebook or something to come see a show, and I don't go out that much.
It's totally okay. I don't expect anyone to actually come.
Okay. All right. But I've known you
Sounds
forever.
Sounds like my last date.
And
Rachel looked at the ladies and gentlemen.
Why? Do
I got
you
know about God.
Brought it back.
Punchline number two makes its way into the show.
Anyways, all right. I don't go out. This is very close to my house. That's why I'm here. Okay, I'm here to plug.
What are you working on, Joel? What are you working on?
I'm going to plug my Twitter feed, the Agnostic Aardvark, and,
which is the worst Disney right character ever.
He was horrible. He was pink.
It's terrible.
Nothing. I'm not doing nothing. But I pose this question to the group. Here's what I would like to ask. Is there somewhere above, there we go, okay, is there somewhere a group of gods
sitting around a table, there we go, a group of gods sitting around a table, all the gods, posing the question of whether they believe in man or not. So I would like to know the answer.
Well,
does God believe in man?
Well, at the end of the day, your idea of whether or not there's a God and whether we should revere or believe in him doesn't work from any religious standpoint that I know of, because without actually choosing and following a particular set of dictums and not being able to make it into heaven.
He said dictums.
I know, I caught that one too.
Isn't it dicta?
Dictums.
Ditka.
Isn't it just Ditka. Dick?
It's Mike Ditka.
Mike Ditka.
It's Ditka.
By Ditka, you got me.
Dick.
Guys, you're so fucking juvenile.
Are you kidding me? Look at you.
I'm not wearing pants.
I know.
Add a dictomy.
Add a dictomy. That's
what Cher Bono. Yeah, no, Chaz Bono. Sorry. Wrong. I fucked the joke up.
Nice.
It was a massively good joke, and I fucked it up. Right. Leave it to a musician.
Right. What operation did she have? She had the...
She had
a dictum. What?
Blew it too.
I blew it too.
God,
you're
it.
A comedy
you
professional.
I said you blew it.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Dope.
That's the it's the twist on trinoacetol, which is a great joke.
Trinoacetol?
Right.
That's
the joke of they have a pill now. Right. Anyways.
Do the joke. You're the joke writer. Are you writing for some? What are you writing for right now? Let's plug.
Nothing, man.
Nothing?
I'm looking for work if anybody's got some.
All right, Joel Madison. IMDb this guy and then call him.
Work for the Gary Stockdale show.
Yeah, yeah. If there was work, do you think I'd be performing all over town?
Good point.
Yeah. That's the reason Gary's pretty much going down on everybody except for Dane Cook. I mean, you refuse to work for Dane Cook, but everybody else you'll work for.
I saw him the other night at one of Rick Overton's shows. Actually, we were going to do Rick Overton's show, but he came in, and the rule is at the Laugh Factory that once Dane Cook comes on, everything else stops in the universe.
They give it to him.
And one laugh.
So do you hate Dane Cook because you hang around with a lot of other comics that hate him, or would you think you'd hate him separately?
I have two.
Or not like him. Hate is a strong word.
I heard a story about
some people think he's God.
I heard a story about him
so
talking about talking against atheists.
Yeah.
Like saying let's you know cut out a bunch of trees and make Bibles out of them and like was I can't remember the whole thing. Provenza told me this. But the other thing is I saw him the other night. He's just insufferable. I mean, he may be a tiny bit less insufferable since he got some therapy. But he said when he was in therapy,
yummy therapy.
That when he said when he was in therapy, the therapist said to him, "Oh yeah, I get a lot of people who come in and talk about you."
Ah, that's funny.
That's amazing.
Really?
Yeah,
he's a therapist for a lot of comedians.
Oh, man, that's great. Well, we know who that is then. The
therapist?
Yeah. There's basically a comedian's therapist who
everybody goes to.
I feel
can
you imagine
being
that?
That's a series.
Imagine this, a terrible comedian therapist.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't think of the guy's name. He's really well known, and he's also a comic, and he's apparently very good as far as I've heard.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I might.
Yeah.
I might.
He had a show.
I don't know that I'd want to go to the same therapist as every other comedian, or
see him
in the waiting room.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah, especially when he's as connected as he is.
Yeah,
if you heard laughs coming from the office and you were in the lobby, you'd go, "Shit,
I gotta follow that."
Right.
I gotta follow that.
That would be that would be tough.
Rachel, do you stand up? Do you do stand up?
No, I don't do
any stand up now. So we can get a good
stand
look
up.
At you.
She's doing sit down.
I'm doing
well.
Sit down. I do sit down and lay down.
I don't. Oh boy!
Just leave it alone.
News from the guys.
Yeah. No, I don't do any stand-up. I write comedy, but I'm not like a professional comedy writer. I'm a director of visual stuff. I do that. I work for like the Monkees and bands
Here we come.
Wow. Yeah.
One of them just died.
That's true. It's very sad.
Yeah, it was very sad.
I think a lot of people were really affected by that in a very deep way.
There's a tweet that you did about the Monkees. Is it on that list that I sent you?
It might be.
Yeah, it is, because I copied it. You said something about Emery.
I'm looking for it. No, I'm looking for it, and I don't see the one about the Monkees. I don't see one.
I posted a thing I had written about Davey that I posted on a blog. It was a link to that. I don't know what else I would have done.
Right.
I usually talk about them.
I'd rather lick a Del Taco bathroom wall than be one of those fully grown Southern women who still calls her father daddy. God damn, that's funny.
That's not about the Monkees, though.
No, it's not.
I was waiting.
There isn't one here about the Monkees. Reference. Is the answer?
I don't
to your
tweet
part.
About the Monkees because you know
you've worked.
I'm close to them. I'm not going to.
She did tweet for the
them.
Record, and you might have been thinking about this. If James, which is awesome, if James McCartney doesn't call the Beatles' offspring band "Here Comes the Sun," then I don't know what.
Here comes the Suns.
Yeah.
Oh, here comes the sun. No, it says.
No, it's here comes the sun. S O N.
Dude and doo doo.
I think they should call them Monkey Babies.
Who all is going to be in this band? I heard about this yesterday.
It's going to be James McCartney. Okay. Well, it's not all finalized, but it's. I think they're calling it Beatles 2, which I think that's the
that's
one
awful.
Where Lennon
that's awful.
Wins the Rydell Talent Show or something like Beatles 2. It's with the number 2.
What'd you come
not
up
the Roman
with, Heather?
Numeral.
Heather came up with Beetle Babies?
No, that wasn't mine,
what
I don't think.
Oh, damn it.
Dung Beetles.
Dung Beetles.
Somebody been sending me
that's what
ideas.
They will be called.
That's what people are going to call them.
The Dung Beetles.
Is Julian in? Because he's
no,
a good artist.
It should be Julian, but it's Sean. So
oh, no.
Sean, Danny Harrison, who scares the shit out of me, frankly, because when you look at him, he looks so much like George. It's unsettling.
Wow.
Yeah. He holds his guitar like a bib, like George, the guitar bib.
Wow.
And
like Jerry and the Pacemakers. That's an old guy reference.
Jerry and the Pacemakers, their sons are forming a band
ferry
as well.
Cross the Mersey, cause the land's a place she loves.
Ferry, cross the Mersey,
nice.
Cause this and land's the place I love, and here I'll stay.
Spelled L-U-V.
Love.
I was in Liverpool last year. And I was on the ferry that went across the Mersey, and they play that song.
Oh,
so, things worked out for them after all. Really, they got to be
those
the
godless fools.
They didn't get the worldwide fame of the Beatles, but they're played on the ferry.
Give me a second song by Jerry and the Pacemakers.
There's a kind of hush.
No, that's Herman's Hermit.
Herman's Hermit. Yeah. Sorry. What's the other one? I'm on the spot.
It's going to be all right, all right, all right. It's going to be all right.
I can't believe I'm blanking. I love Jerry and the Pacemakers.
I didn't do as well.
I'm older than you, though, Rachel, so I'm entitled to.
Yes, but I know all about those 60s bands. That's what I do.
It's your thing. It's your thing. And what did you do for the moment? You worked for the band while touring, or what'd you do?
Yeah, well, I had written some liner notes for the Head reissue, the film Head. They reissued the soundtrack on
Unwatchable.
Rhino.
Really?
No, come on. It's brilliant.
Joel.
It's
Unwatchable.
So many
I've tried
all
a
of a sudden,
couple of times.
Joel, who's calling me a dick for calling
on
her
weed
out
and off of weed. No, I respect that you
it's
like it.
It's a really interesting slice of time and film.
And that's what it is.
That's what it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
As a narrative, a little hard to follow.
Christian Nesmith worked for me, played guitar for me on a musical I wrote. Mike's son.
Is he in that group? No, well, that's
interesting.
That would be the Monkees.
Monkees too.
The Beatles, but no, he's not in it. Well, that's very interesting.
Do you know Christian?
I met Christian at Largo some months ago. Mike Nesmith performed there with the Watkins Family Hour.
Does he still wear the hat?
No, of course he doesn't.
I don't know if I would recognize him without
the hat.
The ski cap.
It is his thing. It was his thing.
Yeah. That's what he did.
Now we have to pull up pictures of the Monkees and put them on the wall up there, on the Wall of Reason.
It's been done.
Okay.
The Beatles, too? Hey, James McCartney?
You know, you'd have a problem with them because they sang I'm a Believer.
They did. They were believers, I presume, right?
I actually don't know.
You don't know the answer?
Not
no,
Mike.
A believer at looking at people's faces.
Peter's a very spiritual kind of a guy. I don't know what the other guys...
I think it was about love, though, rather than God.
Yeah. You think?
Yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah. You know who wrote that song?
Neil Diamond?
Yes. Very good.
How did you do that?
Oh.
That was amazing.
You're kidding, right?
No.
All their songs were Brill Building
Yeah.
They're hits.
Well, yeah, Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart wrote a lot of them.
I'm making a documentary about Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart right
Can
now.
Can I be in it?
Really?
No.
I'm in love with you. That's fabulous. You have to tell me all about
this. I know who
they
are.
This is great.
If you'll wear a hat, you can be in.
Hi, Mike Nesmith here.
You're going to be a stand-in.
Yeah.
All right, getting back to God. Come on.
I feel like I've just picked on everybody.
This is
so
more
much.
Fun, though, but we have to get back.
I did want to come back to you, Joel. You don't need religion for morality.
That is true. And my wife
was around long
is telling me
then.
That. Because
what?
I
love your wife. Really? Yeah.
Well, it's more driven as that. Okay. Here's the thing in our family, and she won't listen to this. She doesn't have a computer. That, you know, it was always usually.
Say that right. Say I won't let her have a computer.
I won't let her have a computer. Exactly.
I am the man.
No, she doesn't like them. Anyways. You know, she would have to be the driving force in our family to, like, go to temple or whatever. I have to use my chips for other things. Like, can I watch TV now?
And not drinking.
Right, exactly. So, like, I'm not going to use a chip to go, let's go to temple. But if she, like, if my mother was the one that drove us, the last thing my father wanted to do was go. But that was a big, important thing. And I think that's the same with our family. I don't want to drive us to temple because there is a level of boredom and you know at these events. But if she did, I would gladly begrudgingly go. You know, I'd go, but we would go and that. So it probably is not going to happen.
This is why Judaism has persisted so well. It's just a religion.
But she considers
of,
herself.
Who cares? Do what you want.
No. Reason it's persisted is because of guilt. It's the same reason why a lot of black people won't give up the church. Because your grandfather and your father's father and your forefathers, look what they sacrificed for you. You're going to let it all go. You're going to let it all die. Okay, fine. That's all right. They don't, you know.
It's guilt.
I don't know the entire idea, but man, I'll never forget the sentence that I heard from Doug Stanhope, and that is stop carrying old people's dead people's baggage. That's it, because that's what that is. That's dead fucking people's baggage.
We already wear the clothes of the dead, so we don't need to carry their luggage.
But black people, for example, the language.
What do you mean by that? These are new.
What do you mean?
These are new.
You're
successful. It's a Penn Jillette song.
Yeah, it's a Penn Jillette song.
She struggles.
Yeah, all
you wear the clothes of the dead.
I sure do.
The thrift stores. Have you ever been in one?
Okay. But is that saying that they're all dead?
It's
not necessarily.
Right. Listen, you got an 85% chance if you're in out of the closet.
But
anyway,
I'm with Rachel. It's all part of the stardust anyways.
That's right.
Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely nights dreaming of a song.
We have another
Doris
song.
Doris Day, ladies and gentlemen, has entered the building.
Before he was a virgin.
we have another song by Gary, and I think we should play it. Gary, what is this song?
Which one are you playing? No, I'm not going to do it live.
So glad.
Oh, there's a friend of mine named Jamie Ian Swiss, great magician, a very outspoken and obnoxious atheist
in
the sense that most people associate atheists with.
Are magicians in general atheists?
Well, magicians are in general skeptics.
They know how to do all the tricks. They know what's behind the magic.
Yeah,
they
when you know,
get
they know turning water into wine is possible.
Yes. Yeah, literally.
I guess so. When you do that for a living, you are skeptical of other things that trick you and deceive
well,
you.
Well, remember, right. I mean, conventional magic was born out of Houdini, and Houdini was the first really, really big skeptic. And so, you know, when you dive into magic, you learn about these gypsy scams and these ways that people have bilked other people for literally millions and millions of dollars over the years.
Like religion.
That makes sense.
Like religion.
Yeah.
We were talking about, you know, trying to do atheist music, which I do. But the whole point is you don't want to have music that's like, this doesn't exist. Neither does this. There's none of this. Nobody likes this. It's all stupid. It's all lies. You can't do that. It's not fun. What you need to do is you need to have a positive message. And it's more than that. It's like music is about uplifting and especially. And so one of the things I love is gospel music. Now, you know, the church thinks that it owns that feeling that is produced when you do gospel music. It doesn't. It exists in human beings. The ecstasy that music produces exists in humanity. And so what I wanted to do was find a way to do a positive, uplifting message. So I used the music of Black Gospel, which I love dearly. And this is a demo version. There's just me singing on it with a whole bunch of other parts of me jumping up. But it's an atheist gospel song called So Glad I Know I'm Free.
I love it. And
I don't need no Lord and Master. So glad I broke that lock and chain. I'm so glad I don't need nothing but my body and my brain. My eyes are open, now I can see. You know I got you, and you got me. The book of truth shall hold my name, 'cause I'm so glad I know I'm free. When I was young, they always told me a man is lost without a God above, without the faith of our fathers. We won't know glory, we cannot know love. But somehow I know there ain't no master plan. It's up to every woman and every single man to lift up your voices and proclaim. Now I'm so glad I know I'm free. Now I'm so glad
I don't need
no Jesus.
I don't need
it. Oh, I'm so glad
I don't need
that fear and shame.
I don't need
it. Oh, I'm so glad
I don't need
it. I don't need a Savior.
I don't need it.
'Cause deep inside
I
know we're all the same. Submission.
I don't need
that. I won't give.
I don't need,
need permission.
I don't need
on how to live.
I don't need
Moses.
I don't need,
Allah.
I don't need,
that trouble.
I don't need
sticking in my cross.
I don't need.
Can
it.
You hear me?
I don't need
when
it.
I call.
I don't need
I'm
it.
So glad
I don't
need no
it.
God at all.
I don't need
the
it.
Book of truth will.
Great atheistic song. I love it.
We'll be right back after this. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to a few of our listeners. Andrew Hess, Randy Thomas, Jim Krentz, Brad McIntyre, Rick McJustice, Kyle Delaney, Dan Crane, Eric Knight, Justin Longerich, Mark Nowitzki, Christian G. McFadden, Adrian Hake, Chris Elzinga, Jesse Settegrin, James Gohan, Don DeNatale, Casey Malone, Gary Parsons, Cameron Winters, and Joseph Swam. Joseph Swam.
Say that again.
And Jimmy the Wonder Dog
as Ralph.
These were all the people chatting on the Wall of Reason last week. We would not have a great show without you. Thanks.
And now back to Ardent Atheist nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Rachel Lichtman, Gary Stockdale, and Joel Madison. Again,
Gary,
guys,
I love that song.
I love that song.
It's no nice. Don't Let the Sun Catch You Crying.
Right.
Aha! That's right.
Nicely done.
It had to come at some point. It's very good. Very good.
I have to say, I wonder if it's perceived as a parody, though. Do you think it could be perceived as a parody? Because it made me laugh.
It
in the
isn't
middle.
For me because I dearly love a gospel. But I did one time we were going to do it in a live show, and I thought it needed a black person to sing it. And
I was the only one.
I know a lot of black singers in town. I know all the best black singers
or a choir.
I couldn't get
you.
One black singer to sing that.
He had to settle for me.
But
at
I mean,
Tam
that's,
last
that's
year.
Their
no,
afraid.
You didn't sing the solo on it, which you could.
Yeah, well,
but
with a little rehearsal.
That goes into the fear factor.
Yes.
Like, what if I sing this out loud? Because it had the heart and it had the feeling, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
I did feel that. I wonder, too, is are you – because what was funny to me is that you played the downbeat. I don't believe in this. I don't believe in that. And you're right. That doesn't work. But when you say it in the gospel feel, it has a nice message. But in gospel music, it seems like they have a big book. You could do a lot of gospel. Could you do another one?
Sure.
I mean, because I think you covered it all. I don't need this stuff.
Gospel is an amazing music. I mean, you can take all the God out of it, but I saw people in New Orleans who were dressed in plastic bags, and at the moment they're listening to that, life is good. At those moments, life is good. It's sort of the reason why any art is there.
No, but I mean, like a gospel song for sure. But it seemed like you covered all the things you don't need in that one song, and I'm saying that maybe you want to spread it out.
You can make an entire record.
Like one gospel
what
song
did he
about
miss?
Don't need
what
X. He didn't miss anything. He covered it all, I believe.
So you're going to produce my next record.
You think also, he blew his wad in one shot?
Are we going to have time to make fun of Hare Krishnas?
Hare Krishnas, absolutely.
Well, why not?
Okay, I just want to
what is
sure
with
we'll
that fucking ponytail?
Exactly.
It's very attractive and very 80s.
Oh, right. It is very 80s.
But they talk about God a lot, those guys.
Whom?
The Hare Krishnas.
Sure.
I want to transition here since we're talking about music. I think that there are a lot, you know, as a Jew, I was always kind of jealous of some of the cool, groovy God rock from the 70s, you know?
Sure.
It's really great. And
Spirit in the Sky?
Yeah, like that type of stuff. Or, you know, even that version of the Lord's Prayer by Sister Janet Mead. Do you know that one?
I don't know that.
Our Father who art in heaven. You know, it's like a really
nice,
kicky version of it.
Yeah.
It's really great. And there's a couple of bands.
And the singing nuns. The singing nuns.
There are a lot of amazing
Dominique.
Christian.
Dominique. What's the second line?
But if they do find out, they're going to scream and shout, Dominique.
Nice.
Okay, all right, I don't know.
There's a guy named...
Joel Madison, ladies and gentlemen.
There's a guy named Ralph Carmichael who did a lot of Christian stuff. I don't know if you know who that is,
right.
But he arranged some records. He did the soundtrack for some, what's it called, The Cross and the... I'm blanking, but anyway. But Pat Boone's in it, but it's a psychedelic record that's amazing, and the Ralph Carmichael singers are just incredible.
I've
and
heard some of that, but I have to check it out.
Psychedelic.
Has anybody
cool
heard
groovy.
The song My Sweet Lord?
Oh, yeah.
I've heard that.
Do you know that one?
My sweet Lord.
He's so fine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. getting sued to do a Jesus-y right. song.
Oh,
yeah, or a Lord song.
Yeah.
How about that song, Jesus and Me in the Hot Tub?
How what? About Jesus is Just All Right?
Yeah. No, is that a Jesus is Just All
That's
Right?
That's a gospel song.
Or is it a positive or a negative?
Me. They say with me.
Jesus is just all right
with me.
Me.
But mm-hmm. is that sort
it
of
sounds kind of neutral or at least neutral if not negative. Almost.
Correct.
Yeah.
I always thought that.
Jesus is just, that's almost what you're
he's not,
saying.
He's not
actually,
the greatest.
Joel.
Jesus right. is just your, the greatest.
Your
with
approach
me,
to belief is very similar to what I think that song was about. You know what? God is just all right with me. I don't have
what
a problem.
What do I know?
I don't want him smiting my ass.
I ain't mad at you, God. Yeah. It's like, I'm not.
I still have a question for Joel about death.
Ah.
Uh-oh.
Because you didn't really
probably
say
when
we got
you
got literally 1 minute 30 seconds
no,
left.
Right.
This is a big question.
You got 30 seconds.
Yeah.
what are you afraid of about dying? Do you? Can
yeah,
you
did
that?
Say that.
Well, I'm not. I actually am less afraid of dying because I had not a near-death experience, not even a death experience, but a strange memory experience that left me without my short-term memory for a day.
Ooh.
Wow.
And when I came out of this condition called...
a hangover?
No, well, a hangover would be good, I wish, called temporary global amnesia, I didn't remember the day.
Ooh.
So during the day, I could only hold moments for about 10 minutes at a time. It's an actual syndrome. And when I came out of this thing at 9... or at like midnight of that day, and had no recollection of what happened to me, just anecdotal what people told me, I felt like I probably was dead, and I felt that death was nothingness, complete nothingness, because I felt that I was dead and there was nothing.
Wow.
And now I'm
I think
alive
that's exactly
again.
What death
that's
is.
That's exactly
but
what it is.
That's kind of what opinion. I'm leaning towards, that it's a nothingness. It's
cease to exist.
How did you feel before you were born?
Before I was born?
Yeah, how did you feel then?
It's exactly. a Zen koan.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So yeah. what brought it? Now I want to know what brought this on.
They don't know.
It's
like 1 in 100,000 phenomenon. Memento was a movie, but
he had
it permanently.
Yes.
I had it temporarily.
Wow.
And had I been not married and just by myself, it might have come on. I might have gone to bed and woken up and never known I had it.
Well, I it's an odd thing to go out on, but I got to tell you, the show's over. We're out of time. My
you
God.
You guys got to come back or something.
Thank you, God.
I want to know more about that. Rachel, thank you for being here so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
I really wasn't attacking. I was definitely arguing, but I wasn't
I can
attacking.
Handle it.
Joel.
Thank you, Emery.
There's no God.
I know that.
You're
now.
Lying to your daughter.
I know that now.
Gary. Oh, dang.
Thank you, Emery.
But there is a Gary Stockdale.
Thank you for being here, Gary. Thank you, everybody, for being here.
Thank you.
I also want to thank my guests, Rachel Lichtman, Gary Stockdale, and Joel Madison. I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson, and Dissident Radio. Tune in next week where our guests will be Ben Glebe and Mike Kaplan. Will be talking about...
Now, how the hell does someone get the name Glebe, and who the hell spells Mike M-Y-Q?
But what will we be talking about?
Those stupid names.
Right. That's it for episode 60. I'm your host, Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to the absentee Facebook publicist, Cameron, we missed the hell out of your ass, Winters. And to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph, not a racist boner in his body, Swam.
You've been listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.
New Dissident Radio. On the interweb.